Action WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Jimmy Kimmel back on the air and praising those who stood up for him during his suspension following comments made after the death of Charlie Kirk, including right-wing critics like Ben Shapiro, Rand Paul, and Ted Cruz.
I don't agree with many of those people on most subjects. Some of the things they say even make me want to throw up. It takes courage for them to speak out against this administration, and they did, and they deserve credit for it.
Station groups Nexstar and Sinclair, however, both indicating their ABC affiliates will not air Kimmel, at least for now. Kimmel was suspended by ABC parent company, the Walt Disney Company. Hong Kong is being battered by a huge storm. In fact, it's described as the biggest storm on Earth so far this year. Hundreds of thousands of evacuations in China, the Philippines, and Taiwan. Secret Service says it dismantled a covert operation that could have been used to take out cell towers throughout New York City as the UN General Assembly is meeting. Ukrainian President Zelensky addresses the body today. This is ABC News.
Start your day with me, Pam Yonke, every morning with the Midwest Farm Report. Right here on WISS.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Well, that was fast. Jimmy Kimmel is back. ABC announced Monday that Jimmy Kimmel Live will return, with his first day back on the air being Tuesday, September 23rd. Turns out being suspended for an indefinite amount of time meant about a week. Disney faced protests from viewers and fans of the company, which included celebrities Martin Short and Tom Hanks, who have created very successful characters for the Mouse House. They teamed with the American Civil Liberties Union, according to Variety. The ACLU called the move to suspend Jimmy a blow to free speech. Disney CEO Bob Iger said bringing back Jimmy Kimmel Live was in the best interest of Disney and ABC. As of this writing, drama manufacturers Nexstar and Sinclair Broadcasting, owners of many of the ABC affiliates, say they won't air Kimmel's return, so the struggle continues. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Packers make roster moves. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NFL. Wide receiver Mecole Hardman won 3 Super Bowls when he's with the Kansas City Chiefs. But at age 27, he told me the NFL means not for long.
Whoever they draft and whoever they bring in, you know, that's their decisions. But as far as on my end or any other receiver, all we can do is come in and work hard and make plays. And, you know, whatever happens.
The Packers cut Hardman from the practice squad last night and replaced him with Jacoby Keeney-James, an undrafted rookie receiver out of UMass with 4.37 speed, who didn't make the cut in the Detroit Lions training camp. Baseball, the Brewers playing the Padres today in San Diego, trying to avoid the sweep. Last night, they lost 7-0 after new starter Bruce Zimmerman gave up a grand slam in the first inning.
Our fans probably don't watch it the same way I do, but he gave up an 87-mile-an-hour ground ball that had seeing eyes and got through the infield, and then he gave up a home run that's a home run in only one park in baseball.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Does this rash look concerning? It's good to be married to a doctor who said, "What's that thing? Let's go see a doctor now."
Look, I know that Pat married for love, but it's like my grandpa used to tell me, marry him for the money because you can fall in love with him later. I don't care so much about the money. How cool would it be to have my own doctor in bed with me every day to do self-examinations? That's all I'm looking for.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd
missed your favorite show.
Everybody, there is a government
air
shutdown
it's
on the horizon. Haven't talked about it much, but we will next time with Pat Kreitlow on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow and Trick Olson of the Lincoln Project. Join
us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on WISS, Oshkosh and Appleton.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Patchy fog this morning, otherwise mostly sunny today. A high in the low 70s. Mostly clear tonight, low 50s. Sunshine tomorrow, a high in the mid 70s. Dry 70s and sunshine Friday and the weekend. Currently 57 degrees.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Maggie Dawn.
Federal judges are speaking out against Donald Trump's attacks on the rule of law and the Supreme Court's evident complicity. Join us as we speak with former Judge John Tinder and former Judge Diane Wood.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Well, did you miss me? I'm back. Welcome to a Wednesday, everybody. It is the fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Thanks again to the staff for letting me take a little bit of a break. Still was doing some work, but, you know, when it's not getting up at 2 in the morning, it's a nice little break from the pace. Boy, I'll tell you what, around the farm department, the pace is picking up quickly. World Dairy Expo is on the horizon. You're going to be hearing us talk about it from time to time this morning and for the rest of the week and all of next week. The weather, well, today it's cooperating. I hope I can say the same next week. You might notice a little patchy fog out there this morning. Otherwise, we're going to have another cloudy Wednesday. Daytime highs today right around 69 with a little bit of a breeze. Tonight, cloudy skies down to 54. Tomorrow, sunshine on the horizon, 74. Friday, sunshine and 79. Saturday, sunshine and 79 degrees. Maybe I'll poke Stumach, our ag meteorologist, and see if he can look into his crystal ball and give us an idea of what the weather is going to be like next week for World Dairy Expo. Believe it or not, there are already dairy cattle on the way to Madison, Wisconsin for World Dairy Expo. I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the health screening that's become so critical with contagious diseases that can cross from border to border very quickly. Kylie Allen is all over that. And we're catching up with some folks that are out in the field beginning the harvest of 2025. Ben Jarboe has that story on the way as well.
Next on our Corn Hall of Fame tour, Pioneer brand Power Core and List Corn.
Ooh, look at all the trophies.
Yes, Power Core and List beats competitors with a 7.7 bushel per acre yield advantage. Three distinct modes of pest control action and unsurpassed herbicide flexibility mean above ground pests and weeds can't win.
But what if they try?
They wouldn't dare. Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/powerup.
Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
When a company only does business in Wisconsin, that's Wisconsin Strong. Rural Mutual provides all lines of insurance, including commercial, farm, home, and auto. And your premiums stay right here to keep Wisconsin strong. Local agents, local underwriters, local claims adjusters.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
The road to Madison leads to the World Dairy Expo. Follow along with Midwest Farm Report's special coverage of the show on our social media, website, and a special podcast. Join Pam, Stephanie, Ben, and Kylie as they tell the stories of World Dairy Expo from September 29th through October 3rd. Learn more at MidwestFarmReport.com.
The Midwest Farm Report's World Dairy Expo coverage kicks off on Tuesday, September 30th with Boehringer Ingelheim. Join Pam in booth EH2906 through 2908. Boehringer Ingelheim is a leader in cattle vaccines, reproductive, and treatment options. Be sure to visit BIAnimalHealth.com to learn more.
Okay, it's time for our fan field goal kick of the game. Hey, he's wearing a Pioneer brand Power Core Enlist Corn t-shirt. Of course, Pioneer brand Power Core Enlist Corn beats the competition's yields by 7.7 bushels an acre. All right, here's the kick. It's good! Not bad for a guy in work boots.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/powerup.
The recent worker strike at a Monroe cheesemaker highlights a larger issue regarding immigration. This is according to Wisconsin Cheesemakers Association Executive Director John Umhafer. For quick background, last month workers at W&W Dairy went on strike after new ownership required employees to verify their immigration status through E-Verify. John explains for us that E-Verify is a national program required for dairy plants that make product for the government. But he says the situation does highlight a larger issue, America's immigration system and what it means for the future of food production.
You've got the meat industry, the vegetable industry, and dairy industries. All of us need a diverse workforce to put food on America's tables for, you know, for food security. And we need every skilled worker we have to keep dairy growing. And honestly, we need more workers. So we have needed Congress for decades. We've needed Congress to act and build better pathways for legal immigration into the U.S. When you add to that the ICE raids that you've seen in California in the produce industry, There was a meatpacking raid in Omaha, Nebraska, even a dairy farm in New Mexico. It just adds confusion and concern among the workforce. And so that's destabilizing, really, for building a workforce, which is what we need.
And John, when we talk about immigrant labor, who are we talking about?
Well, there's folks from Europe. There's folks from Central America, South America, Mexico. I've seen quite a diversity in dairy plants around the country. And still people looking for more people to work in plants. So there's really just a need for people. And so we need a pathway for legal immigration so we can fill these dairy plants and keep up with the growth we're seeing in the industry.
John, we will talk about that in just a moment. You mentioned ICE raids, and I wanted to know, has any of that been in Wisconsin?
We haven't heard of any reports of ICE raids in Wisconsin. Nothing that we've heard. Our members tell us that they do have the paperwork from their employees and that they're doing their due diligence to hire. It's just that we've got an industry that could use more workers, and they're actually out looking for more. So it's destabilizing, like I said, to have a program that's going around the country and basically causing worry, I think, in the immigrant community. And if you're looking for criminals, 99.99% of these folks are hardworking people in communities, and then they're not really what I think the intent would be for a program to seek folks that, you know, have perhaps known criminals. That's just not the profile of our immigrant workforce.
As you said, John, some policies going on right now that's maybe creating some unease among our immigrant workforce, but you point to some deeper regulatory issues that could be improved. What are you calling for from Congress to make sure that Wisconsin's dairy industry has a viable workforce?
The quick take is that we need a year-round visa program in agriculture. So much of the program was built decades ago on the seasonal picking of crops, produce, you know, in the fields. And we're just decades into needing a more stable year-round visa program. And there are so many details in programs like that have been put in bill after bill and session after session in Congress and haven't moved. And I have a list of about 10 items that have been in bills that we'd like to see in bills that haven't been able to move in so many years.
Why does Congress not move forward on something as, it sounds simple?
Well, immigration is a hot-button issue. It's been a hot-button issue through both parties when they've been in power. And it's just proven probably the most difficult issue to get consensus on in the United States.
This is timely because Wisconsin cheesemakers are investing in new facilities. U.S. cheese consumption and exports are hitting record highs. So as the leader of the Wisconsin Cheesemakers Association, John, how can the industry keep growing without a stable workforce or without these, maybe I'll call it immigration reform or workforce reform?
Yeah, it might surprise people to hear that dairy's really, it's really booming. And you may see that in the fact that people are really diving into dairy proteins, whey proteins. Cheese is growing and has been growing for 40 years. Yogurt is hot. Cottage cheese is even hot. And butter is back. For the last two decades, butter consumption has been rising and rising. So you take all of that, and our members around the United States are currently spending about $10 billion building new dairy plants. And there's even expansion on farms across the country. So you've got an industry that's been around a long time that's never been more vibrant. And really the number one issue for our members is securing a workforce. There's no other issue that is in front of that as far as our ability to grow in the dairy industry. So you might call it a good problem, but it's also been a frustration that we can't in this country get a legal pathway ironed out to have a great part of the solution be legal immigration.
John Omhafer, along with us, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Cheesemakers Association. You can read his latest column on the issue at MidwestFarmReport.com. Toward the end of our conversation, he added that Dairy processing is growing, and it's going to need a growing workforce. Part of that answer will be a smoother, modernized, year-round work opportunity for foreign labor. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to WISS.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. President Donald Trump's March 25th executive order on elections, attempting to override the U.S. Constitution's grant of election authority to states and Congress, has so far been blocked by four of five lawsuits filed against it. A ruling in one of those cases, September 17th, allows a challenge from 19 states to move forward. The executive order would withhold federal funding from any state which does not implement the use of the National Voter Registration Form and mandate proof of citizenship documents, including a birth certificate, naturalization papers, a real ID compliant driver's license, or a U.S. passport. It would also end mail-in ballot grace periods, restrict ballot deadlines to Election Day, and withholds federal grants if they don't. States challenging the order include California, Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, Nevada, Massachusetts, Hawaii, Illinois, Maine, Maryland, Michigan, Minnesota, New Jersey, New Mexico, New York, Rhode Island, Vermont, and Wisconsin. U.S. District Court Judge Denise Casper issued a stay on Trump's order in June, saying the states had demonstrated a substantial risk that citizens would be disenfranchised. Her September 17th ruling confirms that the states have legal standing to contest the president's order and that they would be harmed, particularly by the withholding of Help America Vote Act funding. We've linked to the order and more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Matt Nair on Air.
Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, it is a huge export in Wisconsin you might not even be aware of. We are talking to the Cranberry Growers Association as we go beyond the cheese.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Finally, a voice for real news and great conversation in the Fox Valley, WISS.
Eau Claire, just west of Whitehall, up to Park Falls and Hayward. They have dense fog advisories this morning. That's in effect till 10 at Eau Claire and 11 at Park Falls and Hayward.
Okay. All right. Well, hopefully those folks can make it around and safely get where they got to go this morning. You know, really, there's not much to complain about. I'm getting a bunch of talk text conversations this morning about filling up the bunkers and cover crops going in. So far, so good as far as that project's going.
It has worked out pretty well. That rain we had just to get the week underway slowed things down a little bit. I saw a big pile of silage being all covered up yesterday right by me, so they must be about done for the year. So, you know, the work goes on. We're getting things done. A frontal boundary off to our south now today, way down into parts of Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, far, far southeast, lower Michigan, if you will. And there is some rain there, way far southeast lower Michigan, Detroit, down into Ohio, further south, Kentucky, Tennessee. Nothing around that we have to be concerned by. High pressure is here. That's why it stays so calm in the nighttime and that fog develops, especially in northwest and western Wisconsin. That dense fog this morning, I'd expect it redevelops late tonight and into tomorrow morning. And almost anywhere in the state, a little patchy fog, certainly not out of the question. To get your day underway, you may need some low beams. You may need to slow down and pay attention. But that should be about the most of it. Otherwise, during the day, it's going to sound very nice. Our normals have continued to drop around the state. Very low 70s is a normal daytime high, or upper 60s in the north already. We'll be just about there today. And then it warms up above normal by Thursday, Friday, right through the weekend. And it really does appear to stay dry. I'm looking toward the mid part of next week now. That's a full 7 days. And I really don't see that threat of rain. Oh, there could be a little sprinkly shower try to build in into the weekend. I don't expect it's going to amount to much. Otherwise, it really does look very, very fine. If you've got more field work, you want to get more cover crop in, some manure hauled, the weather is going to cooperate now. And hopefully after the rain of early this week, things are drying out for you. Otherwise, give them a few more days. They'll dry out more and we'll make good success as these conditions are absolutely going to be improving and continue to improve right on into next week. No major cold snap in that forecast. Nothing like that. Temperatures very pleasant, normal and above. Maybe cooling a little bit again next week. Nothing drastic. Still very, very fine. Later September weather is what's in store. I mean, October gets here next week, and we're still going to be on the above normal side, still enjoying some really great conditions. I'll have those forecast details, and they're pretty nice.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
When you walk into Bavaria Sausage, you should feel very welcome. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke speaking from experience. The retail location on the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg has that feel. You'll notice it on their website, BavariaSausage.com, and you'll see it on their posts on Facebook. Bavaria Sausage not only features their old world flavors, their recipes, their combinations, and all the food that they make, but they also highlight real Wisconsin products in their recipes, in their store, flavors from syrups to mustards to treats, all with Wisconsin stories that they love to share. When you walk into Bavaria Sausage, it's not just about their story, it's about Wisconsin food stories. Check it out. Shop online anytime, BavariaSausage.com. Follow them on Facebook for their latest menu updates or visit corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg.
Dairy producers across the nation, start your engines. The Road to Madison leads straight to the World Dairy Expo 2025, where innovation, education, and global dairy connections await. Join fellow dairy producers, industry experts, future leaders, and the finest dairy cattle in North America when the dairy industry meets in Madison, Wisconsin, September 13th through October 3rd. Make the drive and be part of the dairy event of the year. World Dairy Expo 2025, The Road to Madison starts with you. Map your trip today at worlddairyexpo.com.
All right, for anybody that's traveling to World Dairy Expo with cows, this temperature situation's not bad, Stu.
No, not bad. Next week, maybe even a little on the above normal side, pushing closer to 80, so it's going to feel very summery, no doubt at all. Let's look at our Compeer Financial Ag Weather Forecast. Some fog this morning, patchy fog in the south and east. Dense fog in the west. Again, that dense fog advisory. Western and northwest Wisconsin till 10 and 11. Mostly cloudy skies today. Some clearing in the west a bit later. Almost anywhere it may brighten up a bit during the day. And temps will be in the upper 60s or just the extremely low 70s with the north breeze about 5 to 10. Overnight, partly cloudy. Could be some fog in the west again late. Lower 50s, maybe an upper 40 here or there. That's it. Northwest breeze is 5. Could be some fog in the west early tomorrow. Otherwise, more sunshine breaking out for everybody. Low and mid 70s expected with a northwest breeze. And sunny on Friday. A lot of upper 70s. Pam, I'd say Madison, probably around 80 on Friday with the west breeze. And then holding in those 70s and 80s right into next week.
Boy, and staying dry, you think?
It sure looks that way to me.
All right. Man, boy. It makes me nervous when things are going so well weather-wise, you know? Well, you just wait for the shoe to drop.
Yeah, we're typical Wisconsinites. Where's it going to get us?
I know, exactly.
I hope not till later next week, because I can get all kinds of stuff done right now.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about all the running we've got to do with World Dairy Expo on the horizon. It's a lot easier to do when you're not geared up for rain or snow, which has happened some years. This will be all right.
We've been there, yeah. I came to visit you 1 year in a motorcycle and had to ride home in the snow.
I remember that year. All right, dude, we'll catch up with you tomorrow and see if anything changes, okay?
All right, see you then.
Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist with your Compure Financial Ag Weather Update. Compure Financial is your financial partner, committed to agriculture and, of course, that rural slice of life. Find more, compure.com. What's happening in your world? The talk text line is open, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Will I see you next week at World Dairy Expo?
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent episode of the Todd Allball Show, an interview with UW-Madison's Rural EMS Outreach Program Manager, James Small.
So what is the mission of this relatively new program?
Most of my work is done with local government. So our goal of the program is to work on reliability and sustainability of the EMS response system itself. So a lot of that depends on funding from local government. It depends on organizational structure of the systems. We're not doing anything with patient care or system quality at all. There's other excellent training providers to provide that training. But where the gap really existed was to work with these local governments, particularly the small local governments that don't have the resources, to help walk them through that process, whether it's how do you increase funding, how do you maybe take your two volunteer ambulances and push them together and create one full-time ambulance and split the cost between the two communities. A lot of those kind of discussions.
What's the biggest challenge for these municipalities? And the second part of that, what's the cause in your opinion?
I'm not sure on the cause. I think that we've seen a decline nationwide in the availability of EMS services, particularly with volunteer services, that there's just a decline in availability of volunteers. I don't think that there's a lack of people wanting to go into it. Our licensing data is pretty consistent going back over a decade that at any given point we have about 18,000 people that have licenses in the state. What we do see is that about 7.5% of them are leaving the field every year and turning in their license. Maintaining a workforce, when you think about that, every 12 years we have to train the equivalent of the entire workforce, that's problematic. And then as we've seen the costs increase, that becomes very challenging, I think, particularly for the small municipalities to make that lift and look, use the tools that are available to create the finances that are necessary to pay for things, because they may be going from a volunteer staff member to a full-time staff member, which is considerably more expensive. And then we also have like hyperinflation in this space, whether it's on capital equipment. Personnel costs are outpacing CPI by 2 to 3-fold going back almost 10 years. Mm-hmm. So, you know, all at once, where a few years ago you might have been hiring a full-timer for $50,000 a year, that position might be 80 or 90 now.
Wow.
So it's gotten really, really expensive really, really fast. You know, when it was a volunteer system in the 80s, when a lot of these systems really came of age, there wasn't 911 yet. Mm-hmm. So the access of the system had a barrier in it, which 911 has erased, having that capacity to handle these increases too. Because if you look at some of these systems, you know, if they formed back in the early 70s, they might have done like a dozen calls that first year. That same system might be doing like a couple thousand now.
Really?
And you're trying to do it with the same base that you built it off of these volunteers that came in that wanted to come help the community, and they needed a first aid card and a CPR card because there wasn't even EMS licensing yet. For now, it's a couple hundred hours of training to get in the door.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
A new choice. The Fox Valley's real news and great conversation. WISS.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Jimmy Kimmel back on the air and praising those who stood up for him during his suspension following comments made after the death of Charlie Kirk, including right-wing critics like Ben Shapiro, Rand Paul, and Ted Cruz.
I don't agree with many of those people on most subjects. Some of the things they say even make me want to throw up. It takes courage for them to speak out against this administration, and they did, and they deserve credit for it.
Station groups Nexstar and Sinclair, however, both indicating their ABC affiliates will not air Kimmel, at least for now. Kimmel was suspended by ABC parent company, the Walt Disney Company. Hong Kong is being battered by a huge storm. In fact, it's described as the biggest storm on Earth so far this year. Hundreds of thousands of evacuations in China, the Philippines, and Taiwan. Secret Service says it dismantled a covert operation that could have been used to take out cell towers throughout New York City as the UN General Assembly is meeting. Ukrainian President Zelensky addresses the body today. This is ABC News.
The Packers make roster moves. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NFL. Wide receiver Mecole Hardman won 3 Super Bowls when he's with the Kansas City Chiefs, but at age 27, he told me the NFL means not for long.
Whoever they draft and whoever they bring in, you know, that's their decisions. But as far as on my end or any other receiver, all we can do is come in and work hard and make plays, and, you know, whatever happens.
The Packers cut Hardman from the practice squad last night and replaced him with Jacoby Keeney-James, an undrafted rookie receiver out of UMass with 4.37 speed, who didn't make the cut in the Detroit Lions training camp. Baseball, the Brewers playing the Padres today in San Diego, trying to avoid the sweep. Last night, they lost 7-0 after new starter Bruce Zimmerman gave up a grand slam in the first inning.
Our fans probably don't watch it the same way I do, but he gave up an 87-mile-an-hour ground ball that had seeing eyes and got through the infield, and then he gave up a home run that's a home run in only one park in baseball.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Angels of Dirt director and record producer Wendy Schneider. Civic Media's David Grant tells us how you can take over a radio station for a day, and wrestling announcer Rich LoCascio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on WISS, Oshkosh, and Appleton.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Patchy fog this morning, otherwise mostly sunny today. A high in the low 70s. Mostly clear tonight, low 50s. Sunshine tomorrow, a high in the mid 70s. Dry 70s and sunshine Friday and the weekend. Currently 57 degrees.
Grab your lederhosen and your dirndls because it's Oktoberfest. It's Amanda with another new Wisco 411 for you. And Appleton Oktoberfest is this Saturday, September 27th, beginning as early as 9 a.m. There's going to be live music, bunch of tasty, amazing food vendors throughout College Avenue, arts and crafts, and a family fun area. So don't forget to grab your stein, dress up, and enjoy the fall Oktoberfest in Appleton. Check it out by going to WISS.FM, clicking events.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent Darren Von Ruden appearance on Matt and Air on Air.
How are our dairy farmers doing?
So Dad Cap's latest numbers showed that we're down to just a little bit over 5,200 dairy farms. Back in 1986, when I graduated from high school, we had 44,800 and something dairy farms in the state of Wisconsin. And so today, now with that information coming out, we've dropped a lot faster than I thought we would. Back in the late 90s, I did some work on dairy pricing reform and tried to get a system in that would hopefully keep more smaller farms in business, and have not succeeded in that yet. And so, you know, we're looking at that number, you know, continuing to dwindle. You know, so next year, by the time my 40-year graduation date is, I'm pretty sure we're going to be under 5,000 dairy farms in the state of Wisconsin, because we're still losing one and a half a day. Since 2020, we've lost 25% of the dairy farms here in the state. And, you know, that just, you know, it's disheartening. Really, it should be looking at a national security issue for a couple different reasons. Number one, because diversity is always the best way to have a food system. If you get too congregated, it really puts the whole system at stake. And, you know, number two, we just have to make sure that we have a high quality workforce. We're losing those generations of high quality workers.
I guess the question, and something we always talk about, Darren, on the show, whether it's with you or with other farmers or just in general when we're discussing this topic, is the government's role in working with the farmers and the farming industry. What is, in your mind, and I don't even want to say a perfect world, but what does the government do in your version that helps sustain the amount of farmers, grow them, or at least take care of them to the place where they're not having to worry every single day about shutting down? What do you want to see from the government as far as partnership? What do they need to do?
So number one thing is make sure that there's a fair market. Looking at what's going on across the country with the very uncompetitive markets that we see, because we can't sell our products into a market that's not being manipulated by big business at this point. It's been that way for decades already. It's just getting worse because we have less players there. Number two, making sure that farmers get a plus production for the products that they produce so that they can stay in business and that, you know, new farmers can actually come into the business too. Or number three, stop handing out government checks to the largest farms at prices at an amount that's way above what should be.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
1670 AM.
Well, the beautiful bovines are already starting to make their path towards World Dairy Expo at the Alliant Energy Center grounds in Madison. Welcome back on a Wednesday morning. I am the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. And my team's going to be all over World Dairy Expo, both as far as the information we're gathering and as far as the ground we're covering. Now, the show may not officially begin until Tuesday of next week, but to comfortably transfer a lot of these high-value, beautiful bovines, you got to take some time. In fact, Kylie Allen has been talking with some of the Wisconsin veterinarians that are going to be ready to receive the cows as they show up on grounds in Madison. We've got that story on the way. So glad you're along with us on this, the 24th day of September. If you're driving around in a Honda motor vehicle, you can celebrate the anniversary. On this day, 1948, Honda Motor Company was founded by Soshiro Honda, and it's still in existence today. Kind of sticking with the farm show today, did you know on this day back in 1857, a guy named N.C. Harmon from Lyman, Wisconsin, was awarded the first premium prize for cheese in Sheboygan County. He was inspired, kind of kept things going the next year. John Smith had the first cheese vat in Sheboygan County. And if you know anything about Wisconsin cheese, you know Sheboygan County has turned into a pivotal processing area for fantastic Wisconsin cheese. And it all kind of started on this day back in 1857. Just one birthday for you today. Happy birthday to former football player Eddie George, 52 years young today. And now you know.
Now it's time to catch up with our friends over at Wiffles on this Wiffles Wednesday. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and harvest is just now getting started. So Dr. Brent Tharp is here. He is the technical product manager for Wiffles Hybrids. And remember, if you have any questions, go ahead and visit wiffles.com. That's WYFFELS.com. Brent, with harvest here, what are some of those things that we should be looking at?
Yeah, I would say, harvest is just kind of getting started. I would encourage guys to go out and monitor their fields and make sure, not all of them are going to be at the same stage as far as stalk integrity. I think some of these fields that weren't treated with a fungicide, definitely, they died maybe a couple weeks ago or more. And those fields need to be probably targeted first because they don't have the best stalk integrity. So I'd encourage guys to get out there as soon as they can.
And when we are looking at the health of the corn out there, what's the disease pressure looking like? I know here southern rust has been coming up some, but there's some other things. What should we be looking at?
Yeah, southern rust is definitely getting a lot of press. And to me, it's worse in the western edge, probably the southwest corner of the state, where we got quite a bit of rain over the whole summer, and it seems to have hit that area harder. And but beyond that, as you move east across the state, tar spot is definitely, you can see it. I think it moved in late, but yet it's still impacting stalk integrity, and it's going to, I think, in unsprayed situations, fields that weren't treated with a fungicide, it's going to take a few bushels off.
And when we are talking about the yields across the state, what should we be expecting to see out of the corn?
That's a great question. Generally, positive. I think we have a pretty good crop out there from what I've seen. You know, again, I'll go back to, I do believe we're going to see some big advantages to guys that invested in a fungicide application. I believe we're going to see some pretty stout advantages in those situations. So, you know, depending on what disease complex, if it was a combination of southern rust and tar spot, you know, we could easily be over 20 bushels. We're seeing over 20 bushels to a fungicide application coming out of the guys that are harvesting in the south and over in Iowa, where, you know, the disease pressure was pretty heavy. So overall, I, you know, in the sprayed fields, I'm seeing some pretty good yield potential out there.
And now if we move looking more at Wiffles itself, your company there, you have some new products, including a harvest progress map. What exactly is that? How do you find that?
Yeah, if you go to Wiffles.com, Wiffels.com, and click on the agronomy tab, we have a harvest progress map. And this is just where, and you can participate, people that you know, you get on the map can actually click on a link and just enter in what percent of their harvest is going on. So it kind of just tracks the progress of harvest, as it says. And, you know, it's something our sales staff and agronomy team contribute to each week. And then the agronomists give a little regional insight every week. So it's something you can track along on Wiffles.com.
And what are some of these other things that people should be on the lookout for coming from Wiffles?
Yeah, you know, we introduced 16 new hybrids into the lineup that were for this coming sales season for 2026 sales. And, you know, some that fits Wisconsin, what I've really, from my observations, I'm liking what I'm seeing out of an above and below ground protection. So a VT4 Pro hybrid is a W4487. That's 106 day. And then 108 day W5129 is a Smart Stacks Pro hybrid. I really like the health. I think it's bringing some good looks, you know, at this stage of the game, holding together very well. Above ground only, there's 104 day 3654 power corn list, and then 106 day 4514 power corn list. Again, both of those, I really like the health that they're bringing, and they bring some exciting yield potential to the lineup and has some good ear flex to it too.
Dr. Brent Tharp, the technical product manager for Wiffles Hybrids, along with us. And remember, if you have any questions, go ahead, check out their website at Wiffles.com. That's Wiffels.com. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
Okay, it's time for our fan field goal kick of the game. Hey, he's wearing a Pioneer brand PowerCore Enlist Corn t-shirt. Of course, Pioneer brand PowerCore Enlist Corn beats the competition's yields by 7.7 bushels an acre. All right, here's the kick. It's good! Not bad for a guy in work boots.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/powerup.
We are counting down the days to the road to Madison. World Dairy Expo, September 30th through October 3rd. Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin has a new presence at the show this year to celebrate Wisconsin dairy. Board member Kays Wald, representing Dunn and St. Croix counties, says DFW's new location on site will add to the networking and connectedness at the show that helps shape the future of dairy worldwide.
This year, the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin container has a brand new location, just outside the Tan Bark, right near the Badger Dairy Club grilled cheese stand. Those are so yummy. We invite all producers and attendees to stop by and say hello and learn more about how DFW is working to support our farmers and promote Wisconsin dairy. It's a great spot to connect, have conversations, and share ideas about where our industry is headed.
Kay Zwalt from the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin Board. She hopes to see you at the DFW Container during World Dairy Expo, September 30th through October 3rd. Visit wisconsindairy.org.
Dairy producers across the nation, start your engines. The Road to Madison leads straight to the World Dairy Expo 2025, where innovation, education, and global dairy connections await. Join fellow dairy producers, industry experts, future leaders, and the finest dairy cattle in North America when the dairy industry meets in Madison, Wisconsin, September 13th through October 3rd. Make the drive and be part of the dairy event of the year. World Dairy Expo 2025, The Road to Madison starts with you. Map your trip today at worlddairyexpo.com.
So the numbers are moving pretty quickly now as far as the harvest of 2025 is concerned. The latest update from the Wisconsin Ag Statistical Service said about 41% of our corn silage was harvested as of Sunday. Potatoes, 65% are already dug and either headed to the grocery store or in storage. One crop we don't talk a lot about are pastures. If you're grazing livestock this year, this weather has been ideal. Jason Cavadini is a University Extension grazing specialist, and he said the cooler weather that we may have complained about have been fantastic weather conditions for perennial grasses.
What we're seeing is some of the best forage growth that I've seen in probably the past 10 years, and we're hearing that from a lot of people. It's just been an exceptional year for cool season perennial grasses. There's multiple reasons for that. We've had plenty of rainfall, and it's kind of been timed. So, like, typically we think of cool season grasses, especially as we hear this term summer slump. This year that was timed up with plenty of rainfall. And so the summer slump was pretty minor, if at all.
Yeah, I'm hearing the same from our alfalfa producers. They've had a wonderful time trying to keep up with all the cuttings of hay they've been able to process this year. Jason Cavadini, University Extension grazing specialist. All right, markets. Yesterday, as far as dairy was concerned, our barrel cheese dropped 2.25 cents to 161. 40-pound block cheese on Tuesday was up 2 cents at 163, while AA butter dropped 2 cents down to 168 a pound. On a Wednesday morning, so far, we've got October Class 3 milk that goes into cheese up 17 cents, currently at 1727 a hundredweight. Right now, December corn is down a penny at 425. November soybeans down about a nickel, 10.07. July wheat currently unchanged at 561 a bushel. On the horizon, like I said, World Dairy Expo is where we've got our eye trained for this week and all of next week. A lot of beautiful bovines already on their way to Wisconsin, but we've got to make sure before they're allowed in the show that they're safe and they're healthy. Kylie Allen's got a story on that one coming up.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
From Oshkosh to Nina, this is 98.3 WISS.
The green and gold tailgating, the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965 following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Kira Sabin, positive psychology midlife coach.
People cannot take away our joy. When I spend time with people I love, putting my time and energy in things that I love that I think are important, not much has really changed. If you are worried about LGBTQIA+ rights, go volunteer at that organization.
You know you're moving the cause forward, and that's great for our mental health.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Matt and Air on Air.
Todd Allbaugh.
Hey everybody, there is a government shutdown on the horizon. Haven't talked about it much, but we will next time with Pat Kreitlow on Mornings of Pat Kreitlow and Trigby Olson of the Lincoln Project. Join us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to WISS.
Really begins this weekend. Why? Because a lot of exhibitors, a lot of international guests are already in Wisconsin touring around various dairy facilities, dairy processing plants. And of course, the beautiful bovines are on their way to the Alliant Energy Center grounds. And there are some friendly faces waiting for them. Kylie Allen tells us more.
Healthy cows in, healthy cows out is the motto of the Health Check-In at World Dairy Expo. Dr. Sheila McGurk is a professor at the UW School of Veterinary Medicine, and at World Dairy Expo, she orchestrates an extensive staff to ensure a smooth and biosecure check-in process. Upon arrival, exhibitors provide a certificate of veterinary inspection and proof of a negative, highly pathogenic avian influenza test. From there, staff meticulously cross-references the paperwork and the animals on the trailer and does a visual assessment of each animal before they are unloaded. Much of Dr. Sheila McGurk's staff is made up of veterinary students. She says that while these veterinary students are playing a critical part in a successful World Dairy Expo, they're also gaining important skills for their careers.
Veterinary students, obviously, health, welfare, biosecurity are critical to their education. Moreover, depending what year they are, as soon as they graduate, they are likely going to have to fill out and perform health inspections of cattle that are going to be transported, show, exhibition, sale. So in the beginning, when we started tightening up the biosecurity at World Dairy Expo and made it more hands-on and individual inspection prior to getting off a trailer, we needed hands-on, and we needed a lot of people. And I think it was 2008 or 2009 when we started this more rigorous inspection. And then Mark Clark, general manager, and Bob Kaiser, who was a dairy cattle superintendent, they came to me at the vet school. I was a professor of large animal medicine, food animal production medicine at the time, and had been working at our expo since 1983. So they came to me and said, can we pull this off? And I looked at the amount of time we had to cover, the shifts, but I said, yeah, I think we can do it. And I see an opportunity that this could be a win-win situation. In other words, veterinary students need to have this information, having hands-on, regardless of what year they are. They see the different breeds. They see incredible cattle, meet people from all over North America.
World Dairy Expo brings in a lot of cattle. Are there any specific requirements for cattle coming from outside the U.S. or maybe a specific state?
Now, there are places in Michigan, and there are certain places that we have to look more closely at TV requirements. So there are enhanced, a couple of places that the students, you know, if the origin of a herd is from a place that has conditional TB approval, that it's not TB free, then we have to see evidence on the certificate of veterinary inspection that there is a herd test or individual test required if needed. So there are some special locations within the U.S. that have additional tuberculosis requirements.
Well, my next question, I'm sure you've heard a lot about it. New World Screwworm is now, I believe, 70 miles from the U.S. border. Do you have to do any extra precautions because of that?
We will be looking, you know, again, every cow that unloads, the students have been informed about the risk, and all of us will be looking to make sure these animals have nothing that would fit with screwworm, and they will have been inspected at the farm within the previous 30 days as well. So nothing new, just eyeball testing, and knowing that the veterinarian who wrote the certificate of veterinary inspection has also put a very close look at these animals coming in.
Well, that's Sheila McGurk, a professor at the UW School of Veterinary Medicine, along with us. Health check-in for this year's World Dairy Expo will be open for pre-arranged check-in on Wednesday, September 24th, with regular health check-ins starting on Thursday at 7 a.m. and continuing through Saturday at noon. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Kylie Allen.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Matt and Air on Air.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on this local Civic Media radio station. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay. Just download our free Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest. For complete rules, go to civicmedia.us.
An international perspective on crop insurance, today on Farm to Fork. 4 months ago, I began airing a message about the possibility that the dozen regional centers for agricultural safety and health were at risk of closing because of funding cuts. I've now learned that those funds will not be shut off and that the centers may continue operating. One center representative said, quote, "We are convinced that media visibility and support helped turn the tide." So, let's pick up where I left off with our 2025 Farm Safety and Health campaign. Farmers know that livestock can be temperamental at times. Even animals that have never been a problem before can act up. And in a head-to-head, the 600-pound steer or mama sow will hold the advantage. Be watchful and know how to reach a safe spot fast if you have to. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthShoreProductions.com. Do farmers in other countries have crop insurance? You bet they do. And many of them have borrowed aspects from the U.S. version, according to Pascal Farrar, president of the International Association of Agricultural Production Insurers.
For example, countries such as China, India, Brazil, and partly Europe have adapted some aspects of the U.S. system when scaling up their own insurance markets. I personally think an important lesson learned from the U.S. experience is the demonstration that with political will and long-term support, subsidized crop insurance can become a very central pillar of agricultural stability.
Farrar says there's some creativity in crop insurance around the world as well.
Some countries are testing innovative reinsurance, such as catastrophic bonds, to add extra capacity and resilience to the industry.
And says Farrar, some crop insurers in other countries incent farmers to be more sustainable.
Some countries are now starting to link insurance subsidies more closely to climate volatility and to possible adaptation, mitigation, and prevention instruments.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Darrell Anderson.
Maggie Dawn.
Federal judges are speaking out against Donald Trump's attacks on the rule of law and the Supreme Court's evident complicity. Join us as we speak with former Judge John Tinder and former Judge Diane Wood.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Michigan's Supreme Court will hear a challenge against the Line 5 pipeline, the same oil pipeline Canadian oil giant Enbridge is pushing to reroute across northern Wisconsin. Opponents argue the Michigan Public Service Commission broke state laws when it approved the company's plan to drill an oil tunnel under the Straits of Mackinac. A new report from the Alliance for the Great Lakes and Clean Wisconsin shows nitrate pollution is taking a toll in our state. Thousands of families are paying higher costs to access safe drinking water and facing serious health risks because of nitrate pollution from fertilizer and manure. In 2022, farmers likely applied 16 million pounds of excess fertilizer beyond what crops needed. Right now on the Defender podcast, what do data centers mean for our water, land, energy bills, and why is it so hard to find out? An in-depth conversation on the secrets of data centers. Listen at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
This is WISS Berlin-Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein-Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Jimmy Kimmel was back on the air last night following a suspension for comments made about Charlie Kirk's shooter. However, says ABC's Lana Moise,
Kimmel was not on the air nationwide. Two companies that own ABC stations are still preempting the show. Sinclair saying discussions with ABC are ongoing as we evaluate the show's potential return. And Nexstar wants assurance that all parties are committed to fostering an environment of respectful, constructive dialogue in the markets we serve.
The suspension overseen by Disney, the parent company of ABC News. Hong Kong is just getting battered right now by Typhoon Ragasa, causing deaths in Taiwan and the Philippines and hundreds of thousands of evacuations in southern China as well. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky will address the UN General Assembly today. On Tuesday, he met with President Trump, and afterwards, Trump appeared to change his mind on the conflict, now saying Ukraine can win back all of the territory it's lost to Russia so far. This is ABC News.
W.